Yo, 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 yo.
Alright. We've got Swervin' Podcast, Storm, Scene 1, Take 1.
What's up, my people? And we're back with another episode. Hope you guys been enjoying the Swervin' so far. I feel like it's been some good guests, but now it's time to ramp it up, heat it up, and now really get into what's popping in St. Louis. So you guys know her on the radio, and she's one of the top voices out there. So we got Storm in the building. Storm, how you doing?
Woo! I'm joking. I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. We're matching today. It was kind of unplanned, so the vibes are on point.
No, we definitely planned it.
Hey, it's all right. But I'm glad to have you in.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
No, for sure. Winnie hit me up and she said I need to sit down with you. And when I did my homework, I was super interested because you've been doing this. So how has your journey been?
My journey's been good. It's been highs. It's been lows. You know, I'm just grateful to be from St. Louis and have all these experiences. Sometimes people in, like, this industry and the film, you know, music, the creative space, you have to leave your city to kind of experience and go through things. So I'm happy to learn a lot here in St. Louis.
No, for sure. Would you say that it just, you got to be patient with it all, especially doing, like, what we do in the radio thing? I feel like we need a lot tomorrow, but that don't happen with guests, and it's just a matter of just making the track work, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think patience is key, but also preparation, right? Because you can be patient, but then when a moment comes and you're not prepared, it was like, you've been waiting this whole time for what?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So you definitely gotta be prepared also. So throughout that patience process, like start to do other interviews or talk to other people or get out with other creators and like explore and practice, because when that moment does come, you don't want to mess up, you
Facts.
Know, and then it's like, I'm never coming back. And they're going to tell their friends, like, don't go talk to this person. So things like that. But if you do great, they're like, hey, when you go to this city, talk to this person, you know.
Facts. So so for the people that don't know you, what's the process of your radio show on 104.1 and what you bring?
So I feel like this is my first year, like last couple years, really telling people what I do. I have two parts to my job. I'm the assistant program director, and I'm also earner talent. So the assistant program director is just a fancy title for like anything that you hear come out of the speakers of your radio.
Okay.
Basically, so music, commercials in a sense, also like the different content, concert tickets, just things like that. So that's what I do. But I manage two brands.
Is it that 411 pain? I love that. That mug catch that 411 pain. Me and my dad always
doing. They're amazing. They're amazing group of guys, you know, who owns this agency, this law firm, and they are just like full of energy. They actually came to St. Louis last year. This is their first time for all of their like actual top CEOs and CFOs and like people that really matter, like that controls that company,
mm-hmm.
came to St. Louis and did a remote with us and like actually was out on location, and they were just as amazing as they are throughout the song.
They're lit. They're
they
lit.
Were definitely lit. So shout out to Kyle and all those guys over there. But no, I manage Hot and 96.3, so it's like a hip-hop and R&B station. And then I'm also on air on Hot Monday through Friday from 3 to 7.
All right, bet. Yeah, I'm definitely – I've lose my headphones all the time. So I've been in the radio more and like mm-hmm. until like what that is, the beauty of it really.
Yeah.
Like I feel like we got to get off our phones sometimes and like listen to the radio. So I'm going to tap into what you got going for sure.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
How's 24 been? I feel like it was a fast year and we're kind of just right into 25. Like,
oh my god, 24 was amazing. It was highs and lows like always, but it was good for me, you know. I'm always planning and thinking about the next, like today is what, February, but I'm like planning for March and April, you know, in my mind and my brain. Like I'm already moving on to second and third quarter and like figuring out how can I top what I did last year, in a sense. Like I'm challenging myself. I don't really be out here like battling other things and positions. I'm like, how can I make myself better?
No, for sure. I feel that. And I just feel like, especially as like host and stuff and radio stuff, it's just you always got to be on the next, because it's hard to drop something and then like, all right, who do I got next? Because your listeners want that like right now, especially yeah. being a day-to-day show. You got to kind of be with what's hot. So,
I mean, yes and no. And then I tell people, like, you know, I'm a mom. I'm not always on Instagram. I'm not always on X. I'm not always on YouTube listening. Like, let me know if there's something out there. Like, put me on. Like, we friends. Hook me up. But that's something, too. I just don't walk around, in my opinion, with, like, this ego of, like, I know everything.
Right.
Like, if it's an artist out here or an artist that's in a surrounding area that's doing things, like, connect us. If it makes sense and stuff happens, then great. I just don't know what I don't know.
I feel that.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's all about community, and we'll dive into that in a bit. But being a host of the microphone, I feel like you kind of if you have to feel that at a young age, you know. So when was kind of that moment you were like, this is something I want to do and kind of interact with people and, you know, bring light to conversations and stuff?
Yeah, I always tell people I never knew I wanted to do radio. I actually graduated from UMSL, and I wanted to be a teacher, actually. I wanted to be a preschool teacher. Crazy, right? But that, like, switched very early on, and I had an internship at HOT. And ever since the first day I started there, I just knew I wanted to kind of be a part of this, like, brand and the fabric of what they do and figure out, like, how to make it better or mm-hmm. cooler or, like, what is in now. Because back then, it was, like, only Facebook. Like,
right.
Instagram wasn't even thought of. Like, I remember the first day Instagram came out, and I'm like, y'all should get this page. Like, it's cool. This was going on. Remember when Snapchat came out, they were like, a Snapchat filter? Like, we're not doing that, you know? But they just didn't know, like, because they were a little older, and they were so used to doing things a certain way. So I am happy to be a part of, like, the change that happened with HOT a little bit. Even, like, now, like, our logo changed. People don't really even notice that a little bit, but, like, I was a part of that process. So, like, not saying I'm leaving today or tomorrow, but when I do leave, I know I was a part of this growth
right.
of that station to go from what it looked like back in the 90s to what it looks like now in the 2000s, and then hopefully it lasts for another 10, 20 years, and somebody else can change it again.
Is that kind of, do you get that motivation from just being in the mix and hearing kind of what people are engaged to, or kind of just your creative mind?
A little bit of both, but more so my creative mind, right? Because being from St. Louis, we only know what we know.
Right.
But then you go to, like, Chicago, you might go to Memphis, you might go to Springfield, you might go to Branson, the Ozarks, you know, like, you just
stay, you've been around.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You stay in your little area. But, like, when you start going to places in LA, and you start going to places in New York, and you start going to places in other cities, and you start seeing other creators do things, it sparks you to do stuff a little bit different. We got the power of the internet, but you only see the people in your rim, right?
Heard.
But then when you start, like, tapping into people in a bigger circle, you'd be like, oh, they doing this? Like, okay, well, what can I do to push myself a little bit further? So that's what I try to do. I try to challenge myself.
I feel that.
Yeah.
So the Swerving, part of the Swerving podcast, I let my guests ask me a couple questions, but you're a host, so you get to ask one of the first ones now.
Okay.
But what do you got?
So how did you come up with the name? Swervo, like,
how did you come
Swervo? Up? Yeah.
So it was kind of just making Twitter one day and kind of just chatting and wanted a name that stuck, but I was like, you know, 13-year-old me, I kind of like, mm-hmm. I didn't want to like just be switching it all the time and stuff. So I was actually sitting there listening to Kanye, and Big Sean was real big at the time. And that's mm-hmm. when they made Mercy, like Lamborghini Mercy, mm-hmm. and it came on and Big Sean was going. I kept hearing Swerve. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that'll stick. So
yeah.
Did it my Twitter name one day, and, you know, just walking around school, was like, what's up, Swerve? I was like, oh, that's gonna stick. So, but I never, like, it's just always been one of them names. Like, I didn't have to, like, I was never like, hey, call me Swerve. But, like, you know, people just call me Swerve. So they see it on the internet and stuff. It kind of just stuck. So just ran with it, you know, it's just me.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Where Storm come from?
We just made it up one day. Me and my family literally made it up. I got, like, a bunch of women in my family. We're super close. And my cousin was having a baby, and she was looking at, like, names and books, and I had just started at the station. I needed to come up with, like, a name in my mind, like, celebrities that were all famous, per se, or, like, really, really big celebrities always have a first and last name.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Kind of always heard that theory. And I was like, I need a first and a second name. Like, we had to figure it out. And my cousins kept coming up with, like, Hurricane and like, I don't know, something crazy. And I was like, I can't even call Hurricane. That sounds crazy. And then my mom was like, well, all those different things are a storm. And I'm like, okay,
there
I
it
like
is.
Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to dye my hair blonde, like, when I was a kid, when I was in high school. And I always wanted to color my hair and do stuff. And I was like, okay, can I dye my hair blonde? I was like, I can call Storm. I got blonde hair. She's going to be fired. She's like, I guess. And then Princess, we needed a second part to it. And
mm-hmm.
then, like, we were trying to put stuff at the end of Storm. It sounds horrible when I say this, but I swear don't cancel me. Swear don't get mad at me. I grew up with my stepdad and my father, so, like, I always felt like a little princess. I had my grandfather and my grandfather on my mom's, like, mom's husband. So, like, I always had these men in my life that kind of were, like, catering to me a little
What's
bit.
What's wrong with that, though?
But it sounds crazy because when I say that, some people didn't grow up with one.
Yeah,
you know
I feel
what I
that.
Mean? So it's just like now for me to have like four of these.
And figures, some people grow up with none.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, so like I had my dad, my stepdad, I had my dad's father and my mom's moms, you know, person. And it was just so many men in my life that were like there for me. I was like a little princess in my mind, like a baby, like, you know, they just kind of did stuff. So it's like Princess Storm.
Was your I'm gonna go off that a little bit. Was your fathers kind of like jealous of each other? Because like no. of the okay, cool. Because I feel like my I have the battles of the moms. Like, mm-hmm. well, not even like my stepmom don't play that, but my mom's like she just. Isn't an acceptance of what they got going yeah. on sometimes. So
no, my stepdad is a great person. He's been in my life since I was two. My dad is awesome. Me and my dad have a great relationship. Like, my friends would call me and my dad out to eat, hanging out. Like, he's at my house on Friday night. Mm-hmm. We spend New Year's together. Like, we have like a really cool bond. And you know, I always knew that wasn't my father.
Right.
You know, so it was never like, oh, well, this is your dad, and this is what you call him. Like, no, he's my stepfather. But he took care of me, you know what I mean? Like, he took me to school every day. He was there at different events. So I always had, like, a level of respect for him. And I think my father, like, knew that, you know? So he was like, well, this man doing this stuff for you, cool. Like, I'm also going to do this stuff.
I feel like co-parenting and step-parenting is huge into, like, the role we play and, like, how we treat people, you know?
Until it's you.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I don't have kids, so I don't know that.
Until it's you. That's what it's like, a switch. Like,
I feel that.
I always was afraid to have a child because I was like, well, what if me and the person don't be together? And then, like, they go with, like, a step-parent, and they're not nice to them, or they, like, hate them. Like, I don't know. Or, like, you know, vice versa. If I become a stepmom, like, how would that work with the kids not like me? You know, things in that nature. So, like I say, I feel like it's different until you become that person.
I feel. Are you a mom?
I am a mom.
Of yeah. one, two?
Technically two. No, I have a dog.
Oh, that counts.
Yeah, so I got two. I have a dog and my son. My son's name is Ace De Niro. He's 5. And yeah, and I have a little dog, Rocco. He's well, don't get a dog. So I'm gonna tell people.
Well, that's what's up. I like how the story of Storm came together. It seems like a lot of family collective things have led to your road now. What's some hostess radio voices that kind of like brand the style that you bring to the mic?
Honestly, I just have to say, like, a lot of the DJs also like assisted me. Like, people always say like radio host per se, but a lot of the DJs I felt it hot helped me and molded me. Like, DJ Cristal was there, you know, like early on, helping me in my career. Also A Plus. Plus is not from here. Plus is from Virginia, I believe. And but A Plus came in St. Louis like early on in his career, and mm-hmm. really like helped me learn this game a little bit and taught me a lot of different things.
Of like what? Like just transitioning and like what? Like
setting up interviews, like going after what's hot, believing in what we believe in, because the older generation feel music sounds different. It's terrible. It's
well, like sexy or like, yeah,
things
I feel
like that. Like Migos, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about like
mumble rap. And
yeah. So in a time where music is not accepted, but we know it's cool, it's like you have to fight for those things.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like you can go to the table and sit there and just be quiet. But also, if you're sitting at that table and you're fighting for what you feel is right or what you believe in, like, that's a big fight to have. And these people are telling you no. It might flop, but it might work. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, I remember the day I told my VP of programming, like, I wanted to play sexy. And he looked at me like, no. What's wrong with you?
But you
and
know it's going to jump.
Okay, well, I'm playing it. Like, I'm sorry, sir, but listen, this is what's going to happen. And, you know, it just, you have to stand up for what's right, but it's also a way you do things, you know, like we call it crashing out or whatever now. But, like, you can't crash out on people. You know what I'm saying? You have to understand how to, like, really get your point across, state facts, also, like, really, really, like, tell this person why you want to do this. They either believe in you and trust you or don't, but you can't be afraid to do it. Or if you are going to do it, make sure you're doing it the right way. But make sure this person you fight for got their business together, their business in order. I can be fighting for you and be like, yeah, I'm going to bring Swerve to the table. We're going to do these things. Then you late. You ain't showing up on time. You ain't got no music. Yeah, forgot to do it. Like, it all got to make sense when we do this.
Is that why you do the artist role? I was reading about that too. Is why you like do the, you help artists kind of like shine. What's that you do on the side?
Yeah, I kind of do, like, artist management a little
yeah.
bit. I got a thing called Princess Productions. So, like, if artists are trying to, like, learn a little bit more or take their craft a little bit serious, I do try to assist them. But, like, you have to be serious. Like, I would literally walk out the door for a meeting, like, grab my kid, let's go. Like, let's make it, like, you know. But I try. You know, I really try to help people. And if I see that they are taking it a bit serious, I will step in and do those things. But it's very slim. Few people that are, because I'm very strict, and I also have a 9-to-5, and also I have a child.
Heard that.
personal life. You know what I mean? So it's like, if I'm taking this time now to invest into you, I need you to be ready too. Like, we say we gonna come do this, and then you show up to the studio late, you gotta smoke, you gotta drink, you gotta go call this. Look, I ain't got time for that. Like, we gotta, I go through stuff too. Like, mm-hmm. we gotta make this make sense, so we gotta do it.
Heard that. Yeah. So I was reading about you in the St. Louis American. It was a great read too.
Okay.
I loved your mom's mantra about hard work. Yeah. I relate a lot to that. Like, my dad was like, son, you don't work, you don't eat, and all that. So, like, kind of how does that relate to your journey of just staying even 15 years on the radio? That's a long time. So, like,
that's the only commitment I ever had in my whole life.
That's like high fives, like, because, like, I mean, that's people like me though. Like, that gets me motivated because it's easy to quit though. Like, you know, like,
there's been times I wanted to quit.
Definitely. Yeah, but now I feel like it's growing and it's where it's at. Like, due time. So, like, how does that like relate back to the road?
I just always seen my mom work. You know, like, I remember my grandmother passing away and my mom showed up to work still. And I was like, we're not going to take off. I know you're sad. Like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? And she worked, like, until the day of her funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, she took off and then came right back to work. So, in my mind, it's just like, there was no stopping. You know, like, if this person can do it, like, well, I guess I can, or I guess I have to. Like, because it's not, there's no other way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the world's not gonna stop. If I don't go to work tomorrow, my bill's still gonna be due.
Mm-hmm.
These people still gonna depend on me at the radio station or artists I'm working with, like, just because I'm having a moment.
Everyone's got stuff going on.
Yeah, so I just try to, but I'm very vocal about how I feel too. I walk in like my group, my team, and I'll be like, I'm having a bad day. So this might be a little different, but understand I'm here. Just give me a little bit more grace than normal. And I think that's okay. Like, we're human. But for me just to be like, I ain't come in today because something happened, is also not acceptable.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel that. I respect that a lot. I feel like hard work is just like just key to every day. Like, even just getting up and not wanting to make your bed, but make your bed. You come home and see a clean room, you're like, oof. Like, small stuff matters, small wins.
But it's also with being a parent too, right? Because when you have this other person that's dependent on you, you can't be like, oh, I'm not finna fix you food because I'm sad. Like, what?
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm just going to stay in bed and cry my eyes out for having a moment. Like, this person needs you around. Like, you got to get up and make stuff happen.
I feel that.
I just always just, like, push through.
What's your second question for me?
Second question for you. What's next for you?
I don't really know. I'm just kind of just enjoying the podcast. Like, okay. This is my, like, debrief. Like, I just say that, but I'm just, I got a lot of shit going on. Like, I
we
work.
We can curse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a swerving pod.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying not to curse. So, I dropped a couple of curses.
Come on. They know swerve. But, I mean, yeah, I just got a lot going on. Like, I'm at the Biscuit, and then I detail cars on the side, and I umpire baseball when it gets warm. So, it's just like.
Play?
No, I didn't play. I just kind of, like, enjoy. I enjoy, like, directing and running the game, you know, so like just making sure things go smooth, because you see like a lot of people that don't care, and then parents get involved and stuff and kids just hate it. So I just want to be like a connoisseur that makes people love the game, you know. When people come up like, you called that game well, I feel like that makes them want to come back, you know. And it's just, I don't care who wins and all that, it's just about being just solid. So I just kind of just take things in stride. It's more about the small wins right now, just having you on and just having you know, episodes lined up. I feel like the bigger wins come later. So what's next? I'm just kind of just enjoying the moment, for real.
Okay.
Just chilling.
Set a plan, though.
I feel that. Like, what, though? Like, I can't just be too ahead.
I mean, yes, you can.
Yeah, I feel.
You definitely can.
I feel like I'm going to work, though. I mean, we're going to work, though, until we can't, right?
What are you working towards or for?
To not work and do
well,
this.
That's the goal, then.
Yeah?
That's the plan, is to do all this so you won't have to work.
So just due time, though, you know?
Yeah. And then you do all those things. How do they all...
to what, this?
I mean, with each other.
I feel like it all just kind of serves back to just building character within me, because a lot of people like have to see me each day and, you know, depend on that. So like you said, just not bringing your shit to work some days, and sometimes even if you're having a bad day, relaying that. So I feel like a lot of people just depend on me at the end of the day to like for my character that I bring. So yeah,
that's cool.
Just small wins. So the Midwest Summit.
Midwest Music Summit.
Music Summit.
Yeah.
Let's bring, what's coming? It's the first year of it, so.
I know, that's my new baby. I've been thinking about doing this for a very, very, very long time. Me and Winnie, we have been planning and really.
Shout out Winnie.
Yes, we have been planning and working this out. So basically, so many artists come in my DMs and see me out like, Storm, play my song on the radio. Play my song on the radio. You hate me. Play my song. Fuck you. Play my song, Storm. Fuck you. Fuck you. Play my song.
So you're the plug on that?
No, I'm not. That's what they feel like. Mm-hmm. They see me and they're just like, you're holding me back from being successful. You're a fucking whore. It's fucking like that. I'm just like, I'm not. Like, I'm not. I'm not the reason you're not famous. Like, I swear to God, I'm not. Like, but they feel that way. And that's okay, I guess. But that's really not. Like,
there's a lot of artists in St. Louis,
you know
too.
What I'm saying? Like, why all y'all can't be each other's fault? It's 5,500 and y'all. Why is it my fault? Mm-hmm. Like, why can't one person say, hey, we all going to support Swerve today so he can get the most streams and views and da-da-da. But why do we got to be back? Like, why is it my fault? Why can't y'all look at each other and say, well, you stole the same sound that he stole, and it's your fault because people don't, like, why is it me?
You don't see no St. Louis ciphers. You know, you don't see no, like, you don't see none of this stuff.
How is it my fault? Like, what? But it's okay. So anyway, I'm happy I got that off my chest. I've been meaning to say that for a long time. But no, the Midwest Music Summit is basically to teach artists the business side of things, right? Because a lot of artists understand how to look cool or get their own swag and do things like that. They understand how to shoot a video. They know how to call and set up for a photo shoot, all this. But when it comes down to the business, like, is your song mixed and mastered? Is it registered? Are you trying to get single?
I'm glad. I'm so glad you said that. Because artists, like, you can't make a quality song at home. Like, you have to go pay $55 an hour for some studio time. Like, invest in yourself, you know? Like,
or, like, do you own a beat? If I play this, is the person that own a beat finna now try to come back and...
Or is it a YouTube instrumental?
You know,
like,
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I feel that.
Are you using samples that we can't even play? So once we do play it, we get a cease and desist. Like, it's so many levels to this, and they don't understand. That's not my fault.
It's a long, like, yeah, it's
and
process.
And I also feel I don't also feel it's on me to go around with a microphone to yell this out to people. But they feel like it is. But
Because you have a platform that you've built.
I worked my ass off. I feel and that. Was my, like, that's not my fault. But it's
but like, I'm glad you're stepping into the role, though, not being like, all right.
Yeah,
like,
so that's like a running joke now with the Midwest Music Summit. I'm doing all these little promo videos of how I fakely don't really feel when artists come up to me and ask me questions. So my whole rollout is me being very sarcastic. how artists treat me when they are trying to get, you know, something from me or wanting me to do something I have no control over. But yeah, that's the Midwest Music Summit. Basically, it's teaching them the business side of things. So I do have friends in the industry that I have made relationships over the years, and they have said, like, Storm, we'll come to St. Louis and support you to teach artists from St. Louis, you know, a little bit more about having their business together. This is not a showcase where people are going to be performing and rapping and getting up on stage. This is literally, like, for those people who are trying to understand the business. We got artists in St. Louis who got Grammys. You know what I'm saying? We got artists in St. Louis who literally are a part of writing groups and, you know, things like that. And they get those type of accolades and those type of credentials, and, you know, we don't talk about those artists. Why? We just had an artist who won, you know, like a gospel song at the Grammys from East St. Louis. Like, we're not
for
talking,
real?
Yeah, you know, like, we're not talking about those things. Why? You know what I mean? But, like, he took the time to go a step further and do something outside of the norm or the box. We got an artist whose song was just synced on, like, MTV for, like, in the film or, like, on a TV show. Like, we don't talk about those things. But it's, like, those artists took the time to learn the business side of it instead of just trying to be on the radio.
Right.
You know, because, like, once you get on the radio, then what you doing? What's next? And I have a plan. I'm like, yeah, that's not how
I feel like that's why catalog's big. You know, you got to have, like,
yeah,
you got to have a couple songs. You know, what you going to do after the banger?
Yeah, so things like that. And then what is the banger?
Mm-hmm.
Like 17 singles? Like, what are we doing? Like, we're trying to be working. So that's what the summit is about, is actually teaching them the business side of things. This is my first time saying this. This is going to be a free event. I'm not charging people. This is free to the community for people to come out and actually learn. So that's another thing I wanted to do. When I was planning this, I was really big on, like, making sure that this was free, right? Because I have not always been financially in a comfortable space, you know what
right.
I mean? So I want it to be, if you do have a kid or are you going through something, you want to come learn this, but you can't pay $500 because you got to pay a fucking car note or you got to go pay your bills or you got to go pay daycare. Like, this is still something I want to make sure that everybody can kind of you know, come mm-hmm. to. So I was real big on like making sure my team probably hates me because my like expectation list be like so long. I'd be like, it gotta be free, it gotta be places where kids and adults can be. I don't want it to be liquor. I also want to make sure it look fly. The budget is only this amount. Like, it's a lot of things that I want out of this event, and I'm happy that my team and the people that work with me listen to me, and we actually made it happen. So that's a lot of stuff. I wanted to make sure it was for all ages because I remember being like a kid, like I said, you started when you're 13.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom not gonna take you to no damn bar, you know what I mean? Maybe a stepmom, I don't know, that's what it sounds like. Like, she might have took you or something, but like, I want to make it be somewhere that like people can take their kids and feel comfortable, not in a setting where a kid shouldn't be, because I got a son and I know how that feels or looks. And I also want to make it affordable, so that's why it's free. And yeah, my friends really were like, damn, Storm, you doing this? Like, that's hella. It's like, okay, we'll come support you. So I got like different A&Rs and record reps coming in from like Interscope, 300, Warner, RCA, Def Jam. They'll all be coming to St. Louis on March 15th.
That's what's up.
And they'll be telling people about the biz inside of things and what they look into. And it's going to be two different panels. One panel is the artist panel, and one panel is like the biz inside of the panel. So I got a couple artists who will be sitting on panels also talking about their journey and what they've been through.
It's a couple days, right?
It's one day.
One day?
Only March 15th. Only one day. It's like a whole day of like a whole day of something going on.
Okay.
Yeah, and I wanted to make it around 314 day weekend because, or 314 day, because I feel we all celebrate 314 day. We be all like turned up.
Be outside.
St. Louis stuff. Everybody's like performing. Our creators coming together. But then it's over with. And I'm like, we didn't learn nothing. How we gonna make next year better? Like,
how do we grow as community?
Like, cool. Nothing. Okay, next day we all just hungover. All right, cool. No problem. Like, that's what we did. We just ate rice and emos all day, and now we back to doing the same thing. So I wanted to kind of put like an education piece to this a little bit for 314 days. So this will be like an annual event for me, and it'll always be around 314 day weekend.
That's what's up. I mess with that a lot because like, you got to do a lot. We were talking, I talked about this in many podcasts, like you got to do a lot for free for bigger blessings. And it's not even like, it's not even about doing it for free. It's just like what you want sometimes, you know. So
I could've charged.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Yeah.
Great, but it's also like, that's not what it's for.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, y'all scream at me for all these things you want, but then if I would have put a price on it, everybody would be like, oh my gosh, they're only doing this for da da da. I never can make anybody happy.
And that's how some people are already looking at events, you know, like, oh, they're just going for this and that. So I think I'm glad you're doing that. Yeah. That's what's up.
Thank you.
It's going to be an annual thing?
Yes.
That's what's up.
Every year around 314 day.
It'll get bigger and bigger. That's big for the city for sure.
Yeah, we might have like a showcase piece in 2-3 years, but like right now, I just want to focus on the business side of it. Mm-hmm. Everybody think they can perform. Everybody think they hot. But then it's like, can you sit down and listen?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody tell you your shit whack as fuck and your beat fucked up and this is wrong, would you go and like really change that thing, those things? Or are you just going to be like, oh, they know what they're talking about?
And will you be coachable?
That part. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and can you take constructive criticism? You know?
For sure.
We'll see.
That's what's up. Yeah. St. Louis, was March 15th?
Yes.
March 15th, tune in. So we're going to dive into the Swerving Q&A. Got a few questions that I ask all the guests, kind of just based on you. Was you? Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Pause.
I need to wipe my nose. I'm like, my nose is running. I got to wipe my nose. I think I got a tissue.
It's running yet. So
Heard.
Now it's going to be, now the audio's not going to sync. Heard. That's all right.
All right.
I'm going to make it happen.
You good?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right, bet. So now we're about to go back into the Swerving Q&A where I ask each guest some questions just kind of based on what you got going on and your character. Hey. So are you ready?
No.
All right, bet. It'll be fun.
Okay.
So first off, what's some advice you'd give to some young STL creatives besides like the music, kind of like more what we got going on? Because you get a lot of people that are like, I want to do a podcast. And so what would your advice be?
It's just not for young people, right? This can be
yeah, anybody, yeah.
Anybody
yeah.
that wants to do anything, you have an idea, go for it. Start today, start to, like now, you know what I mean? If you're researching, register that name, get your paperwork together, take $5 or $30 to sign up and buy it, you know what I mean? Like get your LLC, whatever you gotta do, like really go for it and like start because you're gonna mess up. You're gonna have highs and lows, so don't wait until you feel it's right or like, oh, I gotta wait until the time is right. It's never gonna be that. Just really do it. Get a plan together, get a journal, and like just start. Go for it. If you wanna start making t-shirts, start tie-dyeing yours first, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. like really going for it. So yeah, that's my advice. Don't wait.
Do you have a favorite personal interviewing experience?
A favorite?
Or it could be, yeah, your favorite.
Yeah, I got two, technically, kind of. One of my favorite would be a little baby, my little baby interview I did a long time ago. The reason I say that's one of my favorites is because I actually, like, hustled for that interview. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, I call somebody, they say yes, we set it up. No. I called, like, five people. That person that was supposed to answer the phone when I got there, I didn't answer. So I had to call the other person back. They had to add this person in a three-way. I had to walk around the building to meet the person. He wasn't there when I got there. Eventually, he came. He was like, yo, he about to perform. When you hear this song, go to the dressing room, stand at the door. The security guard ain't gonna let you in, but we'll be back there after the two songs. It was like some stuff. And I'm just like, oh my God. But it ended up happening. We ended up doing an interview. Lil Baby was super dope and cool and cordial, and like everything happened and worked out. I don't know if it's like probably one of my biggest interviews on YouTube, maybe. I don't know. But that was a dope interview. And then, you want to know my second?
Yeah.
My second, I struggle a little bit. I want to say sexy, but then also I want to say...
You was nervous?
With what?
The sexy interview?
No.
Oh. How'd you... Well, keep going.
No. Well, so sexy interview, I want to say the very first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I... Well, I got three, I guess, technically. But my sexy interview, because I always give artists a chance, right? Newer artists. I would bring newer artists to the station at the time and do interviews with them. Artists who didn't have their business together, or artists who were just kind of hot in the city, and she was someone that I thought was dope early on. And when she came to the interview, I think she had like a couple songs maybe. You know, it wasn't a bunch of songs, but she was already going viral on other things. And it was just her and her mom. And she put up, we did the interview. It was great, you know, just good vibes. But I knew early on, like, this was kind of like a superstar, you know what I mean? And I went to bat for, like, the reason I wanted to do this interview. And I mean, look now today.
Right.
Yeah. And then Megan Thee Stallion was my third one.
Oh, you did that?
Yeah.
How was that? Was it fun?
No, not really. The reason I wouldn't say it was fun... After so long, this stuff don't be fun. But no, it wasn't bad. It was during COVID, so we're on Zoom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Technical difficulties,
yeah.
Glitching, delay, ask a question, you gotta wait, smile, they respond. It's like, you know, kind of weird when you're on like a Zoom or whatever. But the reason that I think that was another one of my favorites is because we only have to ask like 3 or 4 questions. So we have to make sure these questions are like the questions.
I've done that. You get like 15 minutes. Yeah. It's weird.
You gotta make sure the questions are fire. And one of my questions was like about the song she had just dropped, Body or whatever. But just to take everybody back a little bit, it's also other radio people on the call. So I might have a question that somebody already asked.
Right.
Before me, because mind you, I'm in St. Louis. I'm in market 20 something. So like, I ain't number one going first. So this person might have took my question already. I'm like, damn, okay, what you got next? So you really gotta make sure your stuff is together. And at the time she dropped the song Body or whatever. I'm not sure if you know it, but it's like Body Yaddy Yaddy Yaddy.
Oh yeah, yeah. Body Yaddy Yaddy Yaddy.
And I was like, oh, so like, how did you come up with the choreography? How was the dance? And, like, I was something about like the dance. And that question, like, literally got put on so many different platforms. It was, like, my first time technically going viral, I guess. And, like, people took that piece of that clip and posted it everywhere. Because she, like, that was the first time she was asked about the dance and the song and who she worked with and the choreography. And because, too, at the time, my co-host asked her a question about, not really her mother passing away, but just a question about death and how she deals with grief and like still kind of push forward. And her manager and PR team was like, nope, shut you guys down, not asking that, nope, over with. And she was like, chill, I can answer this, like, give me a second. But that was dope because like she stood up, was like, just relax, I can answer these people damn question, did it, and we moved on.
That's why I like podcasting too. And like when I ask people to come on mine, I feel like that's why I'm glad to be able to host them with the questions before, so they're not like, what am I walking into and stuff. They can kind of like review and be like, it feels welcoming, you know? So I feel like that's a big part. And it's cool when you can make like the person you're interviewing feel the question, you know, and like want to answer it. Cause yeah. I feel like a lot of people don't want to be answering questions most of the time.
Yeah.
So that's what's up. If you had the money to change anything about St. Louis, what would you do? What would you like to see? Or if it can happen, what would you like to see be done?
I would like to change nightlife and also like the restaurant like industry part of it, because like I'm kind of getting out of nightlife a little bit. Like, I enjoy partying, but I'm also like, yeah, I don't want to do it anymore. But we don't have, like, a lot of restaurants, I feel like, that stay open late, and it's a vibe. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a mom and pop shop.
After 8 is dead.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I want to go to, like, a nice restaurant and enjoy myself and be there till 11 o'clock, maybe 12. Like, I want to have fun. I want it to be music, but nice food.
But not being a club?
Yeah.
I feel that. I don't really
have that.
Yeah.
Like, other cities have that, and we don't have that. Or just, like, more nicer restaurants. We don't have that. Like I say, it's mom and pop stuff, but like, you ain't gonna dress up to go to, you know, certain places.
I feel that. Prime 55, and I saw you posted that. I need to get out there. So I think some, I'm trying to think of some nightlife spots that you would like.
You know what's so crazy?
What?
When you asked me that question, I low key was like holding back because I'm like, I don't want people to pull up to my spots.
I feel that. I know they put. I'm a pull up for sure, but yeah, I feel that. But you got to put them on too, you know. That's what it's all about. She said she's holding on. That's hella funny.
No, one of my other places was it's called Gastropub.
Mm-hmm. You haven't heard of that?
Yeah, it's fire. It's fire. It's like a little place. I love that place. Like, I can't tell people about my spots.
That's funny.
Yeah, but no, it just depends. And they got breakfast, and they got dinner. It's a cool place. They make like all their drinks fresh. It's kid friendly. Yeah. What? I'm not vegan, but my friends are vegan, so it's like a bunch of vegan options. I don't eat beef or pork, so I kind of go places that, you know.
So two more questions for you. What's next for Storm?
What's next for Storm? I am really, really trying to build my production company and my production brand. You know, like, what does that look like for us, the music side of things? I love radio, don't get me wrong. I love going to the station, doing all those things, but I also want to start helping artists more a little bit, and kind of be on like a creative side with them of like rolling out different, you know, if it's a song, if it's a tour, whatever it is. I really want to start doing that a little bit more.
I feel that you got the role for that too. I feel like people just I feel like people trust your word. Like, cause you've been.
Oh, why do they trust my word?
Cause you've had like the. I mean, you like you said, even hustling for the Lil Baby interview. Like, you just know like the footwork to make things happen. You know, and it's just not like, oh, posting this and hoping. You know, you gotta like market, network. Yeah, get outside to do things. You gotta get uncomfortable to get comfortable and do things you don't want to do and invest. So I feel like you just know the track to doing that. So you know what you're doing.
Hopefully.
And who would you like to see on Swerving Podcast?
Who would I like to see on Swerving Podcast?
Out of St. Louis. No, anybody. Yeah,
wait,
but St. Louis.
St. Louis or
yeah,
out of St. Louis?
St. Louis.
An artist is like creator or what?
Whoever would be interesting that you would enjoy.
Someone that I would enjoy. Who would I like to see? I'm trying to pick one of my friends. I'm trying to pick somebody else that people don't know a lot about but want to know more. Okay, I'm gonna pick Mel and Dre. They're probably gonna kill me. But I'm gonna pick Mel and Dre from the Marquee because I don't think people understand their story. Not saying understand, I feel like people do not know their story and their journey, right? Because Mel and Marquee are owners of the Marquee. They own the loft, they are nightlife owners, they're a couple, and I just feel like people don't understand the highs and lows, what it takes to own a business, run a business, and be in a business for so long. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see restaurants all the time or clubs all the time come and go, but this particular family have been around for years and generations. I don't think people understand it. And also people don't feel like they respect it a little bit. So like when you do go to the club and you're fighting or you're shooting or you're just acting fucking crazy, it's like, these are these people's life. You know what
right.
I'm saying? These are these people pay their bills. They got kids. They got other people. Like, no, that's not cool. So I don't think people understand what it takes to like run a nightlife.
I feel that. All right, I'm gonna tap into that.
Mel and Dre, sorry.
Is there a location still by Fat Buddha still open?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just expanded it. You know, they got a new patio area. They just built like all
DJ Gotti did his Halloween party there, right?
Yeah. You know, like, they literally are like generations after generations. They used to own the loft and just a bunch of stuff. They used to own a club before that. You know, it's just like, that's a long time.
That is a long time.
Yeah.
And one more, because I got it. What would you go back and tell your 18-year-old self?
Go harder. Start. Grow. F these people. They're going to be mad anyway. Just go for it, babes.
That's the St. Louis thing.
Yeah, like, baby, start right now. Don't wait. You got it. Like, yeah, I would start. The first day I was an intern, I would have started doing stuff. The first day they gave me my damn work emails, like, oh, you're hired. I should have started planning events and showcases and all type of crap. Not waiting until like, oh, I gotta wait until I'm a year ahead. I'm not prepared. No, go, baby. You got this.
I feel that. Who you got? You got any shout outs or anything?
Shout out my son. I love you, baby De Niro. You know what I'm saying? You next. Yeah, shout out to my son, my family, you know, everybody on my team. I just appreciate y'all. I know I might not say thank you often, or you guys are doing a great job, but you really are. You know, I pour into my team because I want them to be better. And then once they become, or I tell them, like, I want you to become great. Then when they become great, I want you to be greater. And then I want you to become the greatest. So I don't tell them that often. I just be like, you did it? Okay, cool. We got the next thing going on. And they'd be like, damn, lady, I just finished this. Say congratulations and say good job. But my expectations is like, we not going to fail. Like, what did y'all expect? We have to
keep working.
Yeah.
Like, what your mom said.
Yeah, like, we did it. Now, they'd be like, so we did it. I'd be like, what did you expect we were going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, so shout out to y'all. I love y'all. I may not tell y'all often, but.
Big love. Storm, you're my dog now. Hey, this is Storm. This is Swerving Pod. This is episode 5, season 6, and we're out. Yeah. That was fun.